thank you, Brother Jake and Brother Jeff and her name. Julie, I knew it. Hey, when you get to be a senior adult, it's there. You just got to find the file. Amen? Yeah, some of you act like you don't know what I'm talking about, but you do. And some of you will one day know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. He's good. Boy, didn't we have a great time of worship today? Thank you for Jake for leading us into the presence of God through worship. Well, last time we were together, last Sunday, we started to look at Thanksgiving. And today I want to entitle my sermon, Count Your Many Blessings. Count Your Many Blessings. I know there's some here today that are going through difficult times. Some are having difficulty physically. Some are having difficulty emotionally. Some are having difficulty spiritually. But I want you to know today there's help and hope in Jesus. Because I want you to know that only He can satisfy. You maybe tried other things to try to fill the void in your life. Maybe you tried to do it with things. Things will never satisfy you. They'll never bring you to peace and joy. Only the Lord can do that. Some people try to do it through people. Say, well, if this person in my life, this special person, then I'll have fulfillment. I'll have joy. And you know what? People disappoint us because they're human, just like each of us are. And I want you to know that will not bring you eternal joy. And many people say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put myself into my job and I'm going to get to where I'm making six figures or seven figures or whatever. And when I get there, I'll be good. And I want you to know you can make as much money as you want to make. It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. Only He can satisfy. And I'll tell you today, if you don't know Him, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you have an opportunity to respond to His forgiveness and love that only He can give us, and we praise Him for that. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want to go back to Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100, we were looking at it last week, and we're looking at the principles of a thankful person, and we're going to count our many blessings. Inside your bulletin, by the way, there's a outline that we're going to follow in just a little bit because we're going to count our many blessings today. We're going to give you an opportunity to enumerate them. You're going to write them down. And I hope you'll leave this place with a thankful heart today. And you say, well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for, Brother Jerry. I want you to know, I pray that God would just reveal to you something that God's done in your life that you're thankful for this day. Psalm 100, as you know, is a call to worship. It's a call to God's people to come together for worship. The psalmist addresses all ye lands, all generations. And by the way, of whom does he speak about in Psalm 100? He speaks about the Lord, folks. Notice it says in verse 1, make a joyful noise to who? The Lord. Serve who? The Lord in verse 2. What? The Lord is God in verse 3. Enter into His gates in verse 4. For the Lord is good in verse 5. Let's look at that together if we may. I want to take that apart. We were really taking apart last week, and there's seven imperatives that are found in this chapter in the book of Psalms that encourages us and challenges us. The first one is found, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Hebrew reads there, shout to the Lord. By the way, if you know the Lord, you have something to shout about. Amen? And I shared with you the principle, a thankful person looks upward. They understand that because of God, they're who they are. They understand that God is the one that has blessed them above measure. They understand, according to James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And I want you to know, we're blessed with many gifts that are from above, and every one of those are from God. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in the Psalms 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. And then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I shared with you, a thankful person looks outward. They understand that the purpose in their life is to serve. By the way, I told you last week that, by the way, if you're serving in our church, if you're a teacher and you're not serving with gladness, if you can't get that gladness, you need to step down till you get it. If you're singing in the choir, you don't have that gladness, you step down till you get it. If you're serving on a committee, if you don't have that gladness, you just sit down until you get it. Because a part of worship is that we would serve. We would give ourselves away, folks. And we need to understand that. You remember Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? He had a worship experience. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He had an upward vision of who God was. He understood he was the one on the throne in power and authority. He was on the throne in provision. And when he saw the Lord lifted up, he saw that outward vision. He had an inward vision of himself. And he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." And then what happens? The Lord sends a seraphim. He flies over there and takes a coal from off the altar. And he comes over there and he touches his mouth with it. See, Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." God's here today. And listen to me. He wants to meet you at the point of your need. The God who spoke to Isaiah is the God who speaks to us. And what did the Lord say? After he had that upward vision, after he had that inward vision, then he had the outward vision, because the Lord said, "Whom will go for me, and whom shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." He didn't say, "Here am I, send him," or "Him and I, here I am, send her." Boy, praise the God for yesterday. I heard that we had the biggest crowd ever to help send out our Thanksgiving baskets. Isn't it great to serve God? Brother Ricky said there were 85 people here Friday night. I had treatment on Thursday. I wished I could have been here, but I couldn't make it. I was enjoying the bed too much. That's what I do in recovery. But listen to me. I tell you what, God's good to see joy, the joy of serving, the joy of going and visiting that person in nursing home and know that maybe you made their day a little bit better, the joy of giving a Thanksgiving basket to a family that maybe desperately needs it for this Thanksgiving, and you made their day a little better. Maybe by that smile that you had yesterday as you gave them out, or that encouragement that you gave, God blesses us when we serve him. A thankful heart always looks outward. And then notice what it says here in our text. He says there in verse 2, "Come before his presence with singing." May I tell you something? A thankful heart has something to sing about. Do you have something to sing about today? Could you sing those songs that we sang today and not have joy in your heart? When we count our many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise us what the Lord has done. We need to be singing to the Lord today, folks. We don't do it for ourselves. The focus of worship is God. The focus of worship is our God, is the Lord. And when we focus on him, it's amazing what will happen. When you put your focus on God, the things around you in this world, those problems that you have, those situations you're facing, those difficulties that you're facing in your life, they grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I thank God for that. We have a song to sing today because we have thankful hearts. And then we look number 4. A thankful person acknowledges that all he is, catch this, all he is and all he has is because of the Lord. Notice what it says here in our text. Go back to verse 3. "Know ye not," what are we to know? "That the Lord, he is who? God." He's God, folks. And by the way, may I tell you that he's still on the throne? He revealed that to Habakkuk when Habakkuk was in an impossible situation and his circumstance don't change, but God changed his circumstance, changed his heart. And listen to me, I tell you today, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, "The Lord is in his holy temple," in Habakkuk 2:20. "Let all the earth keep silence before him." When the Lord is in his holy temple, when the Lord is in this place, we have something to be thankful for, folks. We acknowledge who he is, because who is he? He says here, "It is he that hath made us." Did you catch that? Now, we in America today, we think we are self-made people. You know, we say, well, if I have a problem, I'll just pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'll just be a little stronger. I'll be a little stronger. Well, I want to tell you what, I have no strength compared to God's. I love Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Literally, that word in the Hebrew means exchange. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have your strength or God's strength? Amen. Exchange your strength for his strength. He offers that every day for everyone who will wait upon the Lord. He says, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. What a promise for those who understand that he is the creator and we are the created. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Can I tell you something today? He's our good shepherd. He is Jehovah Roy. According to Psalm 23, you know that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't know what you have, your wants. Listen, you're not going to want. He's going to provide every need you have, according to Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We belong to God, folks. And when we understand that, we will declare it to others around us. Because number five, not only does it a thankful person look upward, and a thankful person looks outward, and a thankful person has something to sing about. Number three, number four, a thankful person acknowledges all he is and all he has is the Lord's. Number five, a thankful person declares it. Are you declaring it today? Notice what he says in our text: enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with what? Praise. Are you declaring it today? Oh, yeah. Do you have something to declare? Are you thankful today for what God has done? How do we enter into his presence? We enter into his presence with thanksgiving. By the way, the courts were referring to the temple. When the people of God went to the temple, they probably sang this song, by the way, in the temple. This is a song, by the way, Psalm 100. They sang it in the temple, and they said to them, we need to understand we do enter into his gates with thanksgiving. By the way, thanksgiving is thanking him for what he has done. Praise is praising him for who he is. So when you praise him for who he is, and you understand who he is, let me tell you what, it's going to be easy to thank him because you're going to understand that he has done great things in your life. I love Psalm 107. It says there the same kind of thing. It says, make a joyful, it calls us to give thanks. It says, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His mercy endures forever. And then verse 2 says this, don't miss it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. By the way, before I came to Christ, I was dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2. I was dominated by Satan. The God of this world had blinded my eyes lest the light of the glorious gospel should come forth. I was doomed by this world. I was dominated by this world. But thank God in Ephesians 2, it says, but God, who was rich in his love, wherewith he loved us, folks, and his mercy in which he loved us. And thank God for that today. The redeemed of the Lord should say so. We have something to say if we've been redeemed. Have you told someone this week you've been redeemed? Have you told someone this week of the goodness of God? When you're buying those things for Thanksgiving, that turkey and ham and all that, did you tell the one who checked you out, you know what, God sure is good to me? We ought to, amen? It's a great opportunity to give thanks to the Lord, excuse me. They declare it. Because what? Notice what it says here. I love this part. For the Lord is who? Good. Delightful is the Hebrew word there. God is so good. The one who we serve, the one who we shout about, the one who we sing about, the one who we know, the one who we thank, the one who we praise. He is good this morning, church. And we ought to say, thank you, God. You're so good to us. His mercy is everlasting. You know what he's talking about there? Is God's love. Let me ask you something. Would you rather have God's justice or his mercy? You heard about the guy that went to the photographer, and the photographer took pictures of him, and he didn't like the pictures. So the guy didn't like the pictures at all. He says, let me tell you what, these pictures do not do me justice. And the photographer said, dear sir, I want you to know what you need not is justice, you need mercy. Now, I want you to know every one of us here today needs mercy. Amen. I love the Romans chapter 8 because it talks about the love of God. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you what, I'm thankful for his mercy. It's everlasting. And his truth, his faithfulness endures to all generations. Let me ask you a question. Has God been faithful to you? Apparently he had to the Psalms, because the psalmist said, he said, listen, I want you to know that I'm so thankful. He says, blessed, in Psalm 68, 19, he says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth me with benefits, even the God of my salvation. We need to remember that. A thankful person, may I tell you, number six, has a spirit of gratitude. Boy, we need that in America today, amen? We're in a mess, folks. We're divided. We're unlovely. We have ingratitude. We have children that are disobedient to their parents. If you read over 2 Timothy chapter 3, all the things it says are going to happen in the last days, I tell you what, you could just read through that list. You'd think as Paul was writing young Timothy, he was reading the paper today. Because he said they're unholy, they're ungrateful, they have ingratitude, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Boy, but look at that list. It's a tough list, because I'm going to tell you what, it explains things. But we're to give thanks. And a thankful person will have that spirit of gratitude. May I tell you that it's a choice that we make. You've heard me say before, we got to make a choice to rejoice. May I tell you today, we got to make a choice to give thanks. We got to have an attitude of gratitude. I mean an attitude of gratitude. You say, why should I have an attitude of gratitude, Brother Jerry? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you say, hold it, Brother Jerry, I'm not giving thanks. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what I've gone through. No, I don't know what you've gone through. I know what I've gone through, and I'm still giving thanks to God. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. It was 10 years ago this month that I was diagnosed with cancer. And I wasn't sure I was going to make it. This church prayed, and before I left off, if you remember, before I left off to go to MD Anderson, what did I tell y'all? I said, don't be praying any wimpy prayers. I told you that. I said, don't be praying any wimpy prayers for me. You're going to be praying prayers of faith, because that's all that God's going to see and answer. It says in Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. He says in Jeremiah 33, 3, to Jeremiah, who shut up in prison, he says, you call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, six different chemos, 17 different units of blood, many more platelets, and many, many days in the hospital. I'm here today by the grace of God. And by the prayers of this church, I'm here. And I have something to give thanks for. I want you to know, I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm alive. And every day is a gift from God, by the way. Every day you ought to wake up and say, God, thank you for the gift. We're to give thanks. Thanksgiving brings us into God's presence. Remember I talked last week how Thanksgiving is a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Remember our verse there, Hebrews 13, 15? Let us therefore bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Give thanks. A thankful person has the spirit of gratitude. And then number seven is a thankful person counts their many blessings. Because notice what he says here. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, isn't it amazing in the Bible how many times the psalmist says, we're to bless the Lord. We're to bless the Lord. I love Psalm 103 because Psalm 103 is written and it says there, it tells us that we're to give thanks, folks. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And by the way, the psalmist says, just in case you forgot, let me give you a few. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Aren't you glad he does that, folks? And he took us out of the, I love Colossians, I like how God took us out of darkness and brought us into light, how he has redeemed us with his own blood, Jesus has. He bought us out of the slave market of sin. Thank the Lord that he saw something in us that nobody else saw. That's what Jesus did as he went around. He saw something in that woman at the well that nobody else saw. She had had five husbands, and she was living with a man, and Jesus says, I can have water that you'll never thirst again. She thought he was talking about the well water. No, he was talking about himself, the water of life. And I'll tell you, if you come to him, you'll never thirst again. If you come to him, you'll never be hungry, because he's the bread of life. If you come to him, you will have life, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you come to him, you will have everlasting life, because he is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him shall not die, but he that believeth in him shall live forever. Isn't that great? Those are the promises of God. Now, you know on this Sunday I don't do all the preaching, if you've been a member here very long. But I want you to take a sheet of paper right now. Take a sheet of paper. As you're getting there, if you need a pen to write, just let us know. Who needs a pen to write this morning? Staff, y'all come help out with that, please. Need a pen? We have a free pen we're going to give you, our church pen. They're right here on the front. Just raise your hand if you don't have a pen. We want you to have something to write with, okay? Because I'm going to go through these with you right here, and I hope you'll think about them. I hope everyone will pull that out of your bulletin right now. Well, I was thinking about way over that way, Brother Ricky, Irene, and them. There's Donna and them. Thank you. Well, thank you, Lord. And by the way, this is the time we're going to give you an opportunity in a minute. I hope you've been thinking about it. Those children were pretty brave a while ago, wasn't they? They said thanks in front of the whole church. And we're going to give you an opportunity to say that if you'd like to. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But think about the blessings. When you count your many blessings, think about, first of all, the spiritual blessings that we have. Can we enumerate all the spiritual blessings today? Write down a few. How about salvation? That's a good start, isn't it? Has somebody here today been saved? Nobody? Well, I'm going to keep preaching for a while if you haven't been saved. I'm going to change my message. I'm going to go into a full-blown salvation message here. No, I know you've been saved. But I'll tell you what, have you told anybody about it? Let me tell you something. If some of you men went out and caught a 16-pound bass, you would tell everybody and their brother about that. Everybody at work would hear about it. Amen? Now, ladies, I'm going to pick on you. If you got a good deal on a dress or a new pair of shoes, you would tell everybody about it. You'd go around saying, boy, I tell you what, you wouldn't believe the deal I got. My wife, in our lifetime, has saved me $1 million. On those great deals. Uh-oh, I got the evil eye. Better watch out there. But I'm going to tell you what. We ought to be declared, amen. What are some spiritual blessings? Salvation. How about prayer? Have you been a benefactor of prayer this morning? Was there a time in your life someone prayed for you and you're here today? I just want to say, look over here. Hope's mom's with us today. Remember, we prayed for her with her heart problems. Praise God, she's with us. Eva was with us. a little earlier. You pray for Eva. She's having some struggles. Lift her up in this time. Brother William over here, we prayed for him, and God has done a work in his life. Praise the Lord. And we're just believing for total healing for him. Tanya back there, raise your hand. Say, don't forget what God did for me. Johnny, we prayed for him one time. We went up and prayed over him, anointed him with oil. He was having blood clots come. And guess what? God took those blood clots away. Has anybody else had the benefactor of prayer? Yes, we have. Every one of us have. We ought to be thankful for prayer. We ought to be thankful for the love of God that I talked about earlier, that knows no barriers, that has no conditions, that's unconditional, the love of God. How about, are you thankful for your church? I don't know about you. Every time I miss, I hate missing. I love being with God's people. There's no people like this in all the world. We can care for one another. We can pray for one another. We rejoice when one of our members has a blessing. And then whenever they go through a trouble, we pray for them and we gather around them. How about the physical blessings today? You know, we had mentioned earlier about the granddaughter, Jan, who lost eyesight in an eye. Are you thankful for your eyesight today? You can see. Now, I can see with these on. Now, without them on, I don't do too good. Thank God for glasses. Amen. Thank God for that. How about your legs? We've had 3 men in our church that have had their leg amputated this year. And they're on a prosthesis right now. And God's been good. He took care of them. How about your hands? Have you ever tried to live without a hand? How about your health? Are you thankful for your health, the physical blessings? How about the material blessings? Let's talk about those. I don't think any of us, look out among us, none of us are going hungry today. I think we're doing pretty good. You're welcome for the food basket. We're glad that we could give those out. We gave out a ton of them yesterday, didn't we, Brother Ricky? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ellen, for sharing that. But the material blessings, how about clothes that we wear? When you went in your closet this morning, you had more than one piece of clothes to pick out, right? Hope so. You know? How about our home that we have to live in? How about a car that runs? Sometimes they don't do it, do they? Clean water to drink. How about the people? Now, here's what I want to focus on this. We forget this sometimes. How about people blessings? Do you remember the person that led you to the Lord? You ought to thank them for that, by the way. I'm thankful today for every church that's given me a chance to serve the Lord for 48 years. They gave me an opportunity. Starting at 19 years old, the first church called me to be a youth pastor. I made a whole $40 a week. Andrew and I thought we were rich. Of course, gasoline was 23 cents a gallon back then. Some of y'all can identify with that. Some of you think I'm crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be thankful for the people blessing. How about your family? Husbands, I want you to turn to your wife right now and say, thank you, honey. You're my wife. There you go. I'm watching. Thank you, honey. You're my wife. Say, I did it to my wife. You ought to be thankful for your wife. Wives, this is your turn. Go ahead and turn the other direction, wives. Thank God for your husband. I know we have a lot of widowers in our church that we take care of. I'm thankful for all of our seniors, our widows and widowers. I tell you what a blessing. And people, how about our parents? Young people, you ought to be thankful for your parents. How about parents? Are you thankful for your children? You say, well, I'm thankful we had them. They're a little hard to raise. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now, we want to give you an opportunity, now that I got your thoughts going. We have some guys with some mics here. And we're going to go around. If you want to give thanks, they're going to bring a mic to you. You give thanks today. Who wants to be the first to give thanks? Right back there, brother.
name's Ryan. I'm the grandchild, the oldest of the Kings. And I don't know if y'all have been here long enough, but when I was a kid, I was a troubled child. Most of us are. I remember when this wasn't even here. It was just that old building, and it was blue and green and red. And Brother Jerry used to come see me when I was in hospitals and in juvenile centers, and he brought me most of my Bibles when I was in jail. And now I'm saved, he saved me. I have chosen to follow after him. Accepting him and following him is different. And it's because of the dedication of Brother Jerry and his staff and the people that prayed me through, and my family. And I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, brother. Someone else. There'll be people popping up all over the place here. There'll be someone waiting after Shirley goes. Shirley.
I'm going to do an addendum. Don't ever stop praying. Prime example. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop praying. Bend your knee.
Amen. Someone else, give thanks. Now, you've always wanted to preach, but no preaching, just give thanks. We're good. Neil, we got one right there. Amen.
I thank God for a pastor that preaches the word. Brother Jerry, you nailed it when you said give thanks in all things. You know, I'm so thankful that giving thanks is not conditional. It doesn't have to be up here. We don't have to have things going right all the time. We don't have to have things going wrong. We can give thanks in all things.
Amen. Someone else back there towards the back there. Brother Ola?
Ola. I'd like to thank God for this family I have. I've been married for 40 years now. I thank God for that, and I thank God for this church I'm coming in. They provide me the church with a big Cadillac. Bring me home, and bring me down to the church, and bring me back here. You know, I like thanks there for God. And I like to sing a song too. You know, hold on. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus died for every sinner. Jesus died for you and me. Jesus died for every sinner. Jesus died for you and me. Every night then, in a spirit, move me in my heart, I will pray. Every night then, in a spirit, move me in my heart, I will pray. Jesus died for every sinner. Jesus died for you and me.
Amen. Amen. You're doing a good thing about it. Right here, brother. Right on back there. Yes, sir.
I just like to say that I am thankful for my salvation, for the God that's always there in every situation that we're in. I'm thankful for a day in July when Tanya had to go to the emergency room with AFib, a bad session of it, and some chest pain along with it. And through that, through the CT that they did, and with God's hand on that, that's how they found that swollen lymph node that led to them finding the breast cancer. and praise God and thank God he has worked through that. He's carried us through that. You always hear, it always happens to somebody else, it seems like. And you don't really know how it is until it happens to you or someone you're close to. Mm-hmm. But thank God he has carried us through that all the way. And through it, I think he's I never thought it would be possible, but he's helped us to grow closer with each other. And I just thank God for all that he has done in these past few months in that situation.
Amen.
Thank God for this church, for a pastor and a staff that have been with there all the way, been with us all the way, praying, being there with us for surgeries. And I just thank God for this whole church praying.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my goodness, there's too many things to list to be thankful for, but not only just for the love of a wonderful family, which I'm so thankful for, a wonderful husband, but I am thankful for God's grace.
Amen.
Because I have failed him so many times and so badly, and I always feel him with me, though. I know I always have his forgiveness. And I just thank him so much for that.
Amen. And Marlene?
I may have a hard time talking. It's been a rough year. But I've been so blessed for many, many years. Leroy and I were married over 64 years. And I thank each and every one of y'all for your prayers, how you've held us up through this long journey we went through.
Amen.
And couldn't ask for a better pastor or staff that have cared for me through this year.
Amen.
And I'm very grateful for everyone here and for the many blessings, for the many friends, for my family.
Amen.
Got my daughter here today, and that's very much a blessing for me.
Amen.
Especially Amen. Since LaRue's not here.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Marlene. Go remember. One thing we always need to remember is those who've lost a loved one, like she lost her husband, LaRue, the holidays are not easy. We need to pray for them in the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. Because that's a very difficult time. Dr. Queen.
I'm thankful for this church and the way that you all have accepted us. I love our staff, and I'm so thankful for them. They've already been mentioned. But I want to thank God for Andrea and for Candace and for Julie and for Kendra. The wives of these staff members, they have to stay at home with the kids. They have to make sure the household runs while these guys are out visiting, praying, witnessing. And I just want to give praise to our staff's wives as well.
Amen.
I want to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing. He never fails you and he never leaves you. He's been with Wayne all this time. And he has brought him through so much.
Amen.
So I know he'll see him all the way through.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I'd like to thank God, especially for my spiritual blessings, for him watching over me the way he has all my life. Lord knows, in my younger years, I needed watching over. My physical blessings. My wife, my wife's family, along with my family, but most of all, my wife's family for bringing me to this church and introducing me to Brother Jerry. He's been a huge, huge part of my life, my spiritual life, to bring me where I am today. My material blessings, my home, my children. I'm very, very thankful for that. And people blessings, again, my wife, my family, and my pastor.
Thank you.
First, I'm thankful for my children. I've been very blessed to not have to suffer loss or sickness in my children. I think that's something that a lot of people take for granted. So I'm very blessed. That's something I thank God for every day. And also for all of the members here and for the staff and Brother Jerry, because there was a time in my life where I didn't have family. I had no friends of any good influence at all. And I was completely alone in the world with no one but David. And it's very hard to follow the Lord when you don't know how, or you don't have anybody to help you or teach you or anything. And so for a long time, I struggled a lot. But whenever I came here, everyone just wrapped their arms around me, didn't ask questions about my past, didn't even care about it. And y'all have just been like a second family to us. And mine and my children's quality of life has just continued to improve over the last year that I've been a member here. And I'm very thankful for all of y'all.
Amen. Well, by the way, that's a single mom that's raising three kids. She's raising twin daughters and then David. David, you want to say a word? Go ahead.
I'm thankful for my family along with my sisters, and because without them, I probably wouldn't have the life that I have now. And I'm thankful for God and Jesus, because without them, none of us would be here enjoying learning about them and getting to say what we are thankful for.
Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to take a couple of more, and then I'm going to finish this sermon up. Yes, Miss Cleta.
Yes, I'm thankful, number one, for my salvation, but most of all, I could not praise the Lord today because he's given me 15 years to be cancer-free. November the 22nd, I had my lung removed and diagnosed with cancer, but God's been good.
Man. Irene?
I'd like to thank the Lord for a dear, sweet couple named Mr. and Mrs. Dorsey. They were neighbors of us when we were kids growing up, and they saw to it that the kids of the man that beat his wife, those kids were in church, and they took us to church, and all my sisters and brothers got saved, and my family's gotten saved through them because of them.
Man.
And you never know, you know, they talk about the mission field. Your biggest mission field is right around you every day. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, my husband's saved now.
Man.
It took cancer, but when he got in there that night and he didn't know, they weren't sure if they were going to get him breathing or not. He was so bad off when we got to the hospital. And when we got calmed down, got him into a room finally. He was talking about God. You know, he was scared. We were scared. And that's the best time, I'll tell you what, for the Lord to work. Sometimes it takes fear to bring out your need for God. But he'd been raised in a church, and he'd been with me over the years. And he had these bits of scriptures, but none of them fit together. And when I got to talking to him that night, that's when I discovered, because he kept saying, yeah, he was fine with God, he and God were fine, all that, you know. You got people around you probably saying that. And they've got these little pieces of scripture that the devil has told them is what's got them to heaven, you know. Well, he found out that night he didn't know anything about God, really. And by the grace of God, he gave his heart to God. But your family is the biggest mission field you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask God to help you to be that missionary to them.
Amen.
Because God will give you opportunities, but only if you want to take them. And be prepared, because you never know when you're going to get a miracle. And a lot of us are here today because God's been with us at times. You know those cars that's nearly hit you and all those things like that. I shouldn't have made it through a left turn one day. I went to turn and this nut come flying around from three cars back there. I hollered, "Jesus," and the next thing I knew, I was on the street over there looking back, watching him fly by, and I have no recollection of anything else. God is with you. He will walk with you. He will protect you.
Man.
But you have got to trust him and believe him.
Man.
And if you will step out on faith, I guarantee you he'll show you he's there.
Man. Okay. We're going to close with Ellen. I know we could go on all day long. Oh, but
okay, I just want to tell you, you know, my son's up in Tennessee, and my daughter used to live in Burleson, and because her husband, you know, had to move, it was at Southwest Seminary, and they had to move to Louisiana, so I don't have any family here, but I do have family, because I have my church family, and I have all my family at Mariposa.
Man.
And I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for Brother Jerry. He's the best pastor I've ever had. And I'm thankful for my grandchildren, and I'm going to get to go see them in a week and a half.
Man, thank you. Well, as I said, we can go on all day. Here's what I want you to do at lunch today. When you're sitting around talking about the Cowboy game, which I know they're playing, and I'm planning on having you out in time for the Cowboy game. That's about another 3 hours. No, I'm just kidding. But listen to me. I want you to know the greatest gift of all is Jesus. And we'd be remiss today if we didn't give someone an opportunity in this building to come to Christ. You've heard about people sharing about what the Lord's done for them, how he has saved them, how he helped them through difficult times, how he ministered to them, how he's healed and restored, how he's brought salvation. I tell you what, God does that. And today, he offers to you the free gift of salvation. You can't earn or deserve it. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." But see, he doesn't push it down your throat. You have a free will. You have got to make a decision. As the Holy Spirit convicts you and draws you, you've got to come to Christ. If you feel that tug in your life right now, that's the Holy Spirit. And he's showing you that you need a Savior. He's showing you that you need forgiveness. I've got good news. Every sin that you've committed up to today can be forgiven. Can be forgiven because of what Jesus did at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And we're going to invite you to come. Take a pastor by the hand. All you got to do is say, "Pastor, I need Jesus." Y'all, you say, "I need Jesus." And they're going to sit down in these front chairs, and they're going to explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't about religion. It's about a relationship. We invite you to come today. Others here today, you've been looking for a church home. And we invite you to come join Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Be a part of this fellowship. Because we're going to love you, we're going to pray for you, we're going to encourage you. And then I believe there's some today that you've already met the Lord. But just like Brother Ricky said earlier, the first act of obedience is baptism. Maybe you need to walk an aisle today and say, "You know what? I need to get right with God. I need to be baptized." Because that doesn't save me, but that's telling other people I'm not ashamed of Jesus. We invite you to do that. And then I believe there's some folks here today that you need to be thankful for what God's done for you. And maybe you need to have someone that's been a blessing to you. Maybe you need to go to them in the invitation time day. Take them by the hand. Say, "You know what? Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for loving me when I was unlovely. Thank you for helping me through a difficult time. And we're here today for you, folks. If you need prayer, we'll be up here. Come, pray with us." Let's stand together. Everyone stand. I'm going to lead in prayer. Then we're giving people an opportunity to respond. See, it isn't just enough to be thankful.